Wow. I don't know. It's not what I expected, but
I'm 2-0 when we do this.
Are you? Yeah. You mean the Ravens are 2-0?
Well, I'm 2-0. They shut out the Titans the 1 year.
Okay, but you and I could have done that.
Yeah, but I'm 2-0 when we do these shows.
If you think this is daring me to bring you back in here, it ain't going to happen.
It's not.
You can forget about that.
Like the team?
Drew Forrester, DrewsMorningDish.com is with me in the Live Casino Hotel studio. It is
Royal Farms Coffee.
I see that. I love Royal Farms Coffee. This is the Project Game Day postgame show after the Ravens.
This is one of the five biggest regular season road wins in John's history.
I don't know that you're wrong about that. I don't
credit for that.
I don't know that you're wrong about that. I have to do the math on, you know, like the win in Pittsburgh when Torrey Smith caught the touchdown after he dropped it. The win in Dallas, their final game in the old Texas Stadium. Like, I'd have to start doing the math on which ones are in that group, but you might not be wrong that it is that good. It's uncanny that you know, a game in which the Seahawks were doing things the way they wanted to do
them.
The
whole game changed on the pick six.
It's everything changed. You know, like everything. And my gut said when they got the ball
but
back
Wilson,
and went
by
down,
the way, was never the same after that.
Of course,
it really rattled him.
When they got the ball back and went down and got points before the half, my thought then was, okay, he's going to be Russell Wilson again in the second half. Like, it will be a weird thing that occurred, but the Ravens are going to have to score a bunch of points in the second half in order to beat him, because he's not going to just turtle up because one bad thing occurred.
He did.
Ended it for him. I mean, he was a completely different guy
right
after that, and it's not because the Ravens got great pressure. It's not because he was jittery. And then combine that with, to me, the others
did it again on the next series.
What, the first throw, and they got the ball back.
The ball
absolutely
up in the air, and if the ball bounces up in the air another 5 feet, somebody just runs in there and corrals it and runs it in from 8 yards.
No doubt. All right, so a couple thoughts for me. One being,
you forgot something.
What? You really want to talk about your T-shirt?
My sponsor. Well, I got to have a sponsor. I mean, you guys are – I don't even want to tell people what I'm getting to do this.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have
all
a sponsor.
All right, quickly. Come on. Do whatever you want to do.
Is.
Yeah, the law office is – I get it. I get
you
it.
Read it.
The two Utes. I understand. Law office is a Vincent.
My appearance today brought to you by the law office of Vincent Gambini.
We got a football game to talk about. Would you stop?
Okay,
yeah, we got a football game
to
talk about.
Jay Gambini.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so a couple of things. One, not only that, obviously the game completely turns on the pick six. I mean, it completely, utterly turns. The Seahawks are marching at that point. The game's going exactly how they want it to go. Everything changes in that moment. Combine that with, in a tie game 13-13, the Seahawks are faced with a 4th-and-3 in the third quarter. And for whatever reason,
they kicked a field goal.
Pete Carroll decides
right
the smart play is to try to kick a 54-yard field goal.
Right. It gives them the ball on the 40-yard line if he misses it.
In awful conditions.
Right.
But the kicker who's already missed 2 kicks this season.
Right.
I have no idea what the thought process is there. I have no idea if this is like, hey, I just believe in my guy that much. I don't know how that happens. But it's inexplicable.
Right there.
Oh, that's good. It's inexplicable that he throws that out there. And as you point out, the Ravens get the ball with a short field. They go down and score. The big decision when they were faced with the 4th-and-2, where John Harbaugh decides, after wasting a timeout, hey, you know what? I'm going to give the offense a chance
to convert
it. Looked
like Lamar talked him into it, to me.
I think
like Lamar said, we're going for this, right?
It looked more like John said, what do you think?
Right.
And Lamar said, I mean, what do you think Lamar Jackson's going to say? I was nervous at that moment that timeout was going to come back to bite him in the ass. They wasted a timeout to do it. But if you're going to do that, you better go convert it. That's exactly what they did. And the other story of today, of course, being Lamar Jackson on the ground was...
This was his, to me, this is his real coming out party in the NFL today. This is today is the day he established himself right now as a guy that can beat you. Today's the first day I've ever felt that.
He went
into Russell Wilson's building
right
and punched him in the mouth.
I hear you. I wish that would have been more with him throwing the ball better. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not
trying to take away from what he
right.
did.
That's
he was
not
a
him.
Genius
this
in running
the
ball today.
Plays.
And frankly, his numbers throwing the ball look worse because Mark Andrews in
right.
particular.
He made some bad throws in the first
half. He absolutely
half,
made some bad throws.
But if you were going to tilt the... You know, if you're tilting the wheel one way or the other, he got let down more than he let them down.
I agree with
yeah,
that.
I mean,
I agree with
Andrews dropped 3 or 4 balls.
He didn't have a bad day throwing the ball.
Right.
He just wasn't particularly good
right.
throwing the ball
right.
today. He didn't have to be because he was so good on the ground.
But this performance this performance is the first time that I think you can say officially, before you could sort of think it and guess it and say, you know, someday, this today tells you this kid can beat anyone on any day. When you go into that building and beat those guys.
Okay. I mean, in a weird way, I don't know.
I'm telling you.
In a weird way, I think we've always known that he was capable of that. I think the story had been, was he going to have to be that guy, right? Today, he didn't end up having to be that guy because the defense ended up scoring him some points, changed the course of the game. He went and made the plays he needed to make in the second half, and that's how they won a football game. But the story of the game was as much about the fact that the Ravens got 14 points off of turnovers as it was about what they did offensively. It's a weird game. It's a weird game in which you walk out of it saying, I don't know if the Ravens are really one of the best teams in the AFC, but they did something that they needed to be one of the best teams in football in order to do.
I wrote this morning, if they're a good team, they go in there and fight and scratch and they lose by 5 points like they did in Kansas City. If they're a really good team, they'll go in there and win today by whatever score.
Right.
17-16 on a last-second field goal.
Right.
Or 33-30.
Whatever it's going to be in. Right.
This today, this shows that they're a really good team. And I think what this does is shows the Cleveland thing was really a fluke. It was just one of those days. Cleveland's chakras were lined up right, and we just didn't have
it. I think that they still have a lot of
sets.
I'm going to be careful about that. I think there's still a lot of questions about this defense. I still think there's a lot of questions about this defense.
I do too. But this was a massive performance by them, aided by the Carroll decision, which, by the way, you never know. We could have stopped them on 4th and 3.
Maybe, right. And then secondarily by an unthinkable throw from Russell Wilson.
Right.
The point being, if that throw isn't made, I don't know what this day looks like. I couldn't tell you what this day looks like. I don't think you can just pick this up and, you know, erase that play and say everything else would have gone on to be the same. That being said, that doesn't take away from this. This was an unbelievable get the job done type of performance in the second half for a team that was given a gift and took advantage of it. And Marcus Peters made the play when Russell Wilson made a terrible throw, to his credit. So that's where you are. Does this suddenly make you say, I'm confident this team can go in and win any game anywhere, and they're going to win? You know, we look at the schedule that's ahead of them. They still have 5 really tough games, right, coming up this season. Are you confident they're going to go win 4 of those? Are you confident they're going to go win 3 of those? I'm not there. I'm confident they're capable of winning them, right? Like, this proves that. It proves they're capable of winning games against good teams, and that's a good start for where they need to be. I still have a lot of questions about their defense. I think the other thing this does, and we'll get to some of your comments here in a second, I think the other thing this does, and this is, you know, Josh Scirocco just pointed this out, I think this is the storyline now as they go into the bye. The question now becomes, does a win like this make them more aggressive in trying to find pass rush help before the trade deadline? Does this recalibrate what they're willing to do, because now they can hang their hat on, hey, we're sitting at 5-2. The AFC appears to be completely wide open. Everyone was on board the Texans train before today. They go in and lose a game in Indianapolis. Obviously, we don't know how long exactly it's going to be before Pat Mahomes is back in Kansas City. They're far more beatable without him on the field, and they looked flawed at times even before he got hurt. The question becomes, now that you have this as the last thing to see before you get to the trade deadline, does this change what the Ravens are willing to do to address the one thing that still appears to be a significant issue for them moving forward?
I thought that they pressured, it wasn't great by any means, but Brandon Williams got back there today a little bit.
Brandon Williams, I thought, had his best game of the season today.
And I think the pass rush today, especially in the first half, the game wasn't much of a game in the second half, but I thought even in the first half, they pressured him enough.
He had a ton of time to throw the ball
in the
first half.
He did a couple of times, but here's the deal. In the last 3 weeks, we had 4 pressures or 5 real pressures in the game. Work with me numbers-wise. In the last three games before this, we might have got 5 legit pressures on the quarterback, not combined, but in each game, where we would really either sack, you know, we had 1 sack the week before, we didn't have a sack the week before that, we had 2 quarterback hits. They had 5 or 6 pressures in the first half today.
Okay, if you're if you're saying so, I don't think that was the case.
No, but again, I'm not saying
I thought it was dreadful in the first half. I thought in the second half they actually got a little bit of pressure on him.
I do not think it was dreadful at all.
I mean, but I don't, he sat back there and had all day to throw in the first
half. Not on every throw. I'm telling you. But here's the deal. I'm not saying that to say they shouldn't go get a pass rusher. I'm saying it to say potentially this Fort kid has impacted the game a little bit.
Well, I mean, he was great. Right. Individually, he was great. I don't think
good.
But if you're counting on that as being your answer the rest of the season, I think that's a huge mistake.
That. But if they don't, I guess what I'm saying is this. They can win with this group. That's what I'm going to say.
What can they win with this group?
They just went in there and beat these guys.
What can they do? If they don't get a pass rusher, what can this group do?
I don't know. They just went in and beat.
That's fine. Well, I'm asking you a question. What can
they
do?
Beat anybody. They just did it.
So you think that they have confidence. So let me rephrase it away because you're going to dance around it.
No, I'm not.
Phrase it this way. Are you confident this team will go win the AFC without improving his pass rush?
They could. Absolutely.
Okay, but that's sort of like saying anybody could do anything.
Well, they could. I don't think if they got a pass rusher, I wouldn't say now they're going to win it. It'd be the same thing.
Do you not think the pass rush is the single biggest thing that keeps them from being an AFC championship caliber team?
It would look like it.
I think it's overwhelming.
But again,
how significant.
I don't know
that
one guy is going to alter that. Well, I also will say this: if McPhee, it looks like that was a bad injury.
It didn't look good.
If he's injured, that really pressures them now because he was so good against the run. And Ferguson is okay, but he's got a lot of work to do. He's getting blown up.
He made one good play. Yeah, he made a play.
But if McPhee is out, that might really make them think about going to get somebody else.
Well, I mean, if that's the decision that you're making is whether or not Pernell McPhee is, I think that's a drastic mistake.
Really, today will make them go, okay, if he's out for the rest of the year,
if Pernell McPhee's out, that's the reason to me why you go throw a sixth round pick away to get a Derek Wolf, right? To go find a guy.
Yeah,
there's a big difference between that and going and getting a guy. Going and saying, we're going to do something bold in order to find a guy. Now, we'll have more time to talk about that as the week goes on. Let me start rolling through some of these comments that have come in. This is the Project Game Day postgame show. Glenn Clark and Drew Forrester. Today's show is also brought to you by Glory Days Grill. Catch all of the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where they have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Glory Days Grill, great food, good sports. Alex, yeah, number 8 is pretty good. Well, correct. I mean, I don't know what else I'm supposed to say to that. He's damn good. Again, today, a weird day in which we will continue to talk about Lamar Jackson. The numbers will say he didn't have that great of a day throwing the ball, but as Drew and I talked about, the numbers are probably a little bit misleading. He was probably a bit better throwing the ball. Not great, but a bit better throwing the ball than the numbers would indicate he was. In total, what he's able to do, I mean, it's obviously unbelievable what he's able to do and how silly he makes everyone look when he starts running. From Tony, only negative I have is what up with Andrews. Yeah, I mean, it was comical. In a weird way, right?
Like, it was laughable.
In a weird way, it's more of a statement that you went and won this football game despite the fact that your two other best offensive weapons, one was not available to you in Marquise Brown, the other was flat out bad today in Mark Andrews, and yet you figured out a way to win the football game anyway, which all came down to the plays that Lamar Jackson made, frankly, with his feet.
By the way, it's a huge win for – how freaking good is New Orleans
with
Bridgewater?
It's crazy. I mean, that's crazy.
By the way, New Orleans and the Ravens, only two teams to win in Seattle.
Okay. John Colson checks in. Wilson was also rushing the pocket a lot, or do you help make his bad day? I agree with that in the second half. I did not agree in the first half. From Joe, Lamar Jackson gives you a chance to win anywhere at any time. I mean, we talked about that a little bit. Drew's, you know, you're saying today is the proof of that. I think a lot of people started feeling that way after the Chargers game a year ago. And oddly, like I would prefer to be making this statement after Lamar went, you know, 25 for 30 and made brilliant throw after brilliant throw after brilliant throw. Today is more a story of, to me, you put the circumstances together where you're able to run the ball and dictate on the ground the way they were dictating on the ground in the second half. You have the absolute ultimate weapon. if you're trailing by two scores in the second half, I don't know what happens.
Right. Now you've got to throw the ball a lot more.
Correct.
You're going to have to go downfield more quickly.
The game played in...
The whole thing changed on that interception.
Of course. The game played into your hands as the second half went along. And frankly, at some point, they started deciding to run the ball, which was something that they probably should have been doing more of as the game began. That doesn't take away anything from what happened today. It's only in the context of, is this proof that they're going to go beat all the good teams they play? I've argued before they should become more of a ground-dominant team. That I get they wanted to come into the year and open things up and throw the ball a bunch more and show that Lamar Jackson was a quarterback, and they kept worrying about all these trolls on the internet. That's all well and good. At some point, this team's best chance of winning might be just running the F out of the ball the way that they ran the F out of the ball a year ago and marched through and got a boatload of wins and went into the postseason. That might be their best way to win football games. In the second half, when they got to that, that's what they did and won a football game. Josh says the reason why the pass rush appeared to be better is because Russell Wilson held on to the ball for so long. That might be true, too.
Yeah,
that might be true, too.
We were after him more than I've seen them get after the quarterback, which it's like the opera. It has to be better than you think it is, right? And our pass rush has to be better than we think because it's horrendous. Anything they do is better than what they've done for the last three or four
years. Right, because they've done nothing. Yeah, sure, right. I hear what you're saying. From Scott, like Joe, Lamar's receivers wouldn't make a play for him, but unlike Joe, he has the ability to do it himself. Perhaps unlike Joe, they will give Lamar some weapons. Love this kid. I'm not really interested in doing a Joe Flacco thing today. But yes, the Ravens, this thing we do where you assume, hey, you got a quarterback that solves everything. You have to constantly put guys around the guy, and that's the difference that we're talking about. If you had to come back from two scores today, I don't know that they would have been in position to do that given what they had on the field. I don't think they would have trusted their wide receivers. I don't know how they could have trusted their wide receivers had they had to do something along those lines today. Thankfully, they didn't have to. The game played into their hands that Lamar was able to just say, I'll go make the plays myself. And, yeah, he's really good at doing that. There's no doubt about it. From Brian, who can't we beat? The pass rush could put us over the top. There is no great team.
I mean, that might be true. New England's played zero. I mean, they're going to lose. I think they're still going to lose three games. Maybe four, but probably at least a 13-3. That game in a couple of weeks, you never know what that thing might settle, right?
Of course not.
Where they play? Cleveland next week. At Cleveland, I think.
Who, New England? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
At Cleveland.
Yes.
I mean, hey, Cleveland came here and punched us in the mouth.
Also
things
true.
Have happened.
Also true.
What happens if next Sunday, what happens if Cleveland beats them?
Well, I mean, you certainly
here the
feel,
following
right.
Sunday
you,
playing
certain,
for,
you certainly feel entirely different about right? things. There's no doubt about that.
We ought to just go ahead and get our hotel reservations ready.
Maybe ease up on all that.
All right.
From Calvin, just wait until the Ravens get Jimmy Smith and Marquise Brown back. Look, again, yes, I'm in favor of both of those things. That doesn't solve their biggest issue, but I'm in favor of both those things. I thought their biggest issues on the negative today, obviously, the pass rush continues to be an issue. I also thought the offensive line was pretty shaky in the first half in trying to establish the run. That got better, clearly, as the game went along, and the commitment to just keep running the ball appeared to be a big difference in that as well. From Paul, I've always been on the outside linebacker or defensive end trade bandwagon, but I'm starting to think it's an interior defensive lineman that can get penetration, and that's what they might need more. Not sure if any of the bad teams have defensive tackles with pass rush skills available, though. I think you're looking at such a small market. I don't know who you're finding that's changing your pass rush in the interior of the defensive line. I mean, I just don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
And to take who off, like who snaps.
I mean, Beasley's the guy everybody's going to point to, right?
Who?
Vic Beasley.
The
Falcons are going to move him, and he's going to improve somebody's team in the last 8 weeks.
Why are you so confident they're going to move him?
Because it looks like it's over, right? I mean,
but this notion that they're just going to move on for the sake of moving on because they're going to say,
well, that's what everyone's saying down there. I don't know, but I'm just reading what everybody's saying in Atlanta.
I think that we've been
that
doing
done with him.
I think we've been doing a lot of this. It's almost baseball-like, where we've just looked at bad teams and say they're going to trade all their players,
right?
As if these bad teams don't think they can't keep those players around and be good moving forward, or that this is baseball where you need to wait 5 years in order to be good again.
Right.
I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Atlanta's got some massive problems.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they're a disaster. There's no question.
They've never recovered.
They still haven't. You're absolutely right. They
have
not
recovered from losing that game.
They have not. There's no doubt.
They've got to fire the coach tomorrow, right? I mean, I'm not a coach, fire the coach guy.
I don't know.
They got to fire the coach.
I mean, I think the word was they're waiting to. I don't know when their bye is. The word was that they're waiting to their bye, whenever that is, yes. Ryan Schell says hello, says John Harbaugh. Ryan Schell says John Harbaugh outcoached Pete Carroll today. Specifically, the two fourth down decisions, there's no doubt John Harbaugh outcoached Pete Carroll. I mean, it was an inexplicable decision from Carroll to kick the field goal there, and absolutely.
I mean, it's one thing if it's 59 and cloudy. It's pouring the rain.
Right, right.
I mean, what's wrong with you?
Right, and you have
just
a kicker
the
who's
ball there. I mean, you could punt it if you know.
If the score
was 16-13 at the time.
No, it was tied.
13-13.
Yeah.
So you could punt the ball there and likely kick it in the end zone, and we get it on the 20, or go for it.
Right. Just go for it.
One thing you don't do is kick the field goal.
Correct. By the way, if you go for it and you don't get it, you're in no worse of a situation when you likely miss the field goal. I mean, it was just a baffling decision for him, and John Harbaugh ultimately got it right. Paul, I can't lie. I had to laugh when Lamar was getting apoplectic on the play where Skura wouldn't hike in the ball. Following that, I'm glad Harbaugh decided letting Lamar take the game over and go for it on fourth and two instead of kicking the easy field goal. Yeah, I mean, that was clearly a story. Josh, this team is a lot of fun to watch. I'm still waiting to see if they can come back in a game they aren't controlling. Look, I mean, that's certainly the thing, right? Like, that's the thing. And I'll compare that.
Oh, someone sent me a note. Brent Urban would be the guy we'd go get if McPhee can't play again.
I mean,
they
could do that either way.
Yeah, right. But I mean, Brent Urban would be the logical guy, right? Knows the system.
But do you think that Brent Urban is changing them?
Not at all. Yeah. But if McPhee is out for the year,
also Urban's not a stand-up
guy. They've got to replace him with someone.
Okay,
right?
But Urban's not a stand-up guy.
Okay.
I mean, like he plays a different position.
They're going to let Ferguson. They've got to bring someone in for McPhee. I guess that's my answer.
Well, specifically, I think that I don't think that the answer is Jalen Ferguson.
Look like Ferguson, right now.
I tend to agree with that. You got to solve that. You got to solve that and decide whether or not that's enough and that you are good enough. If that's the only thing you're going to do is just bring a guy. From Calvin Smith, L.J. Ford is a pretty good player, but hopefully the Ravens get a pass rusher in the bye week. From Scott, interior lineman would be great, but Aaron Donald ain't coming through that door. See if you can go get Von Miller. I mean, again, Von Miller's not had a good season to begin with. Let's start with that. I would still probably be willing to take a chance on him, but the question is, are you willing to pay that price? I don't know. And from Darrell, do you think the offense's problem is speed on the outside? Well, it certainly hurts when you don't have Marquise Brown. When you have no one who's really taking the top off of a defense, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, that's kind of like nobody. I mean, we're not going to spend any time talking about this other than say that's become a little bit of a bubbling side story that goes all the way back to training camp when he was missing 20 minutes here, half the practice there.
Right.
He's always
He's been injury prone. There's no question about that.
So that's a little bit of a bubbling side story is this kid going to be like this? Is this the way his career, or at least his rookie contract, is going to play out, where he only plays 11 games this year, next year he gets hurt the fourth game and he misses 4 weeks, and he plays 10 games next year?
No, it's definitely part of the story. There's no doubt. It's definitely part of the story.
Right.
But is it there the offense's problem? I don't know. The offense, largely pretty good, but much of that has to do with Lamar just going and making plays.
I just tweeted this out, and, you know, I occasionally hit a lot of singles.
Mm.
Right, hold on. Mm. But it's funny you bring that up. I got to figure out how I get to, you know, you can't ever figure out how you actually get to your own tweets that you sent out.
I don't think it's worth this setup.
No, no, no.
Whatever you're about to say,
there's no chance. I can't find my there it is. I can't find how you read your own tweets, right? So hang in there. Just give me a
second. Are you serious?
No, you ready? I got it. I can't figure it out. Ravens fans are in an unfamiliar spot. Now we know what fans in New England, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, and New Orleans have felt for the last decade. If our quarterback gets hurt, the season's over.
Well, hang on. In New Orleans, they lost their quarterback.
Right. But
that actually doesn't work.
Right. Lamar is closely entering that territory now.
Well, for this team, there's no question.
Yeah.
I mean, for this team right now, he is the team.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. They don't have anything.
We've never had this feeling before.
The defense isn't good enough.
We did a little bit with Joe only because the backups were horrendous, right? But
well,
we've never had a feeling like if this kid gets hurt next week, we're done.
Well, and a team that's been so singularly about this thing about them revolutionizing offense, I still giggle at every time they do it.
They just happen to have a really athletic quarterback.
They're saying, let the guy go run. Like, that's what revolutionizing offense. Right. They're not doing something that they're saying, we're just going to let the guy go run. Right. He's fast as hell. We don't care. All those things you guys say about us, we shouldn't let him run the ball this number of times in a game. We don't care about it. He can run the ball as much as he wants. We'll take whatever risk is there. We believe he's smart enough to get down and avoid contact. He's just going to run the ball. That's how we revolutionized offense.
Right. I mean, it's a little bit like saying Rex Ryan revolutionized defense.
By just saying, let's go after the quarterback all day.
Yeah, right.
Let's just blitz all the time.
Let that 52 guy run around. He's pretty good.
Right, correct. He's all right. They've got a quarterback that can go make plays with his feet that other guys are completely incapable of making. Even good mobile quarterbacks can't make some of the plays Lamar Jackson can make because his straight line speed is absurd. It's ungodly. It is, you know, track star type of stuff, his straight line speed. And they're saying, just go do it. Just go do it, and we'll trust that you can make enough of the throws when we need them that we'll be all right. And more often than not, that's been the case. And it really is into the entire conversation of the offseason was about Lamar Jackson's development as a passer. Well, he might have developed as a passer, but the real question to me is that going to be the story this season or not? Or is the story just going to be, the hell with it, we can win games like this, where we just say, everything can break down. This guy's going to go run. That's what we're going to do. That's who we are as a football team. That's our identity.
And as long as you say this every week, and you have to preface it just like they preface it in New England and Green Bay, right? Maybe not New Orleans with Bridgewater, who, by the way, will be a starter somewhere in the league next year, I assume.
Almost certain.
Yeah, maybe Tampa or something. But anyway, as long as this kid doesn't get hurt, we're fine. Like, that's the only thing that scares you.
Right.
It just scares you because he is, you know. And I am, when I say this, I'm not saying that we should limit the amount. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying limit the amount of touches or arbitrarily say, now you can only run 14 times max or 8 times.
That was his number today, by the way, 14.
Right. Yeah. So, but here's the deal. The more contact, it's just human nature. The more contact you get, the more chances you have to get hurt. It's just that simple, right? So, you know, there's
somebody would point out it's the same thing if you're getting sacked all the time, right? Like, if you're a non-mobile quarterback and you keep getting hit, yes, correct.
And this has always been the knock on Roethlisberger.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, the one
extends plays forever in order to try to make a play, and because of it, he takes on contact.
So, you know, as long as this kid stays healthy. And that's just got to be your biggest concern.
I do think
because of the amount of contact.
It's a tricky spot, right? Because I do think the point is you're not winning this game today. There's no chance you're winning this game if you don't just say, go run the ball. Go make the plays yourself. That's how they won today, was saying, Lamar, go run the ball. That's it. That's the story. And obviously, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, making the worst throw in the history of his career.
And it really rattled him.
Yes, and it changed him. There's no doubt about that.
It will be interesting to see what they do next week. It will be interesting to see.
Yeah, how long that stays with him.
Yeah.
My gut is he'll be fine. He's Russell. That's my gut. He's Russell Wilson. He'll be okay. But my God, it was crazy. All right, I need 90 seconds. We'll come back in. We'll wrap up. Drew Forrester's here in the Live Casino Hotel Studio. Well, we'll come back, and we have some more thoughts to get to.
We won.
I know.
Oh, we got more time, you mean?
Yes, there's more of a show to do. We're going to take 90 seconds and then come back and do the rest of the show.
Yeah. We got to talk baseball.
No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. All right. We tried. I tried. I did my damnedest. Josh Stroka had a bet on how long it would take before you would get off topic.
I'm good, man. The Ravens won. I'm 2-0 when we do this.
Wonderful.
I'll be back next week. I can't come. I'll be a key one.
Where to buy? Buy next week.
No, but I'm saying next.
Oh, the following game?
I can't do it.
What are you doing?
I'm going to Kiwa.
Of course you are. All right, we'll come back in. It's Project Game Day.
Hey, this is Stan the Fan. You know we're all hoping for a special season out of our football team. When it comes to dining out casually and affordably, I know a place that's special every season. The Costas Inn at 4100 North Point Boulevard. Not only are they known all over for their great steamed crabs and crab cakes, they have a couple specials you want to keep in mind. Monday night is crab cake night. Tuesday night is ribs night. Wednesday night is steak night, partnered with half-priced bottles of your favorite wines. And Thursday night is lobster night. So check out the Costas Inn this football season, and you may come back whatever the season. That's the Costas Inn, 4100 North Point Boulevard, 410-477-1975.
Need groceries today but don't have time to shop? Order online with same-day pickup or delivery at Wise Markets. Wise to go online. Now that's convenient.
This is Stan the Fan for Glen Burnie Transmissions, located right in the heart of Glen Burnie for almost 60 years. If you suspect you're having a transmission problem, GBT can save you hundreds of dollars over taking it to the dealers for a repair. Make an appointment for a free diagnostic and estimate. Call GBT at 855-728-1841. Their mission is simple: to provide excellent service at a reasonable price. Go to their website at gbt-online.com to check out all of the 5-star reviews. Let my friend Mark Schwartzman and his GBT team take the troubles out of transmission troubles. Call them today at 855-728-1841.
Respect. It's more than a word. In the U.S. Army, it is one of our core values, earned through selfless service to our nation and making a difference both at home and abroad. On the Army team, respect is earned daily. And now, in addition to earning respect, you may earn up to $40,000 in bonuses if you qualify. To learn more, visit goarmy.com/bonus or call 1-800-USA-ARMY. Paid for by the U.S. Army.
Catch all of the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where we have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Enjoy $6.99 burgers on Mondays, $5.99 nachos on Thursdays, and drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today and try something new from our seasonal menu. Glory Days Grill, great food, good sports.
All right, back in here in the Live Casino Hotel studio, Glenn Clark, Drew Forrester, drewsmorningdish.com, the Project Game Day postgame show after the Ravens put together a stunning 30-16 win in Seattle over the Seahawks to improve to 5-2 on the season. Obviously, the bye next week, and then they host the Patriots on Sunday Night Football in Week 9. In between those two things, the trade deadline, that will drive the majority of our conversation this week about what is ahead for the Baltimore Ravens. A couple more comments to get to from Paul. One player I'm intrigued to see get a chance after the bye is Jaleel Scott. Seth Roberts and Chris Moore have been meh. Scott might add a different dynamic than those two. Worth taking a chance and seeing to me. I thought he was supposed to be a decent gunner, too. You know, we do this conversation. We can insert name here for the last decade, right? My gut is Jaleel Scott's not a guy. Like, I don't think they're just not purposely giving Jaleel Scott a chance.
If he can't beat out Seth Roberts.
Right. That's my
gut. What's that tell you?
Now, the argument of, why not just do it anyway and find out? The argument is always based around the theory, well, it can't be worse. Except the thing is, it can be worse. Like, we always have this conversation.
Sure, it could be worse.
You could get somebody killed because you're not capable of blocking. Like, it can be worse. Would it be worse? Don't know. And in theory, do I sort of agree, like, hey, it's worth giving him a look and finding out because you have so little at the position right now? Yeah, maybe. Miles Boykin obviously made a hell of a play downfield today. You hope that that's pushing towards Miles Boykin being something as things goes on. I think one of the plays that gets, you know, completely overlooked today is the third down play where Lamar Jackson threw the ball to Hayden Hurst on the sideline.
That was a huge play.
It was a massive play.
Huge play.
Massive
play.
Yeah, play.
They had third and...
It was manageable. It was short.
Fourth.
It was four,
yeah,
somewhere in that.
He threw
like that.
A 16, 17-yard. We had it on our own 43, having to get to the 47. He threw it down to their 42. Whatever that is.
I don't know if that all that's right, but whatever. The point is, that throw along the sideline to Hayden Hurst on third down
was
a huge play, and part of the play that's able to happen because there's a linebacker who's afraid to go try to make a play on Lamar Jackson, knowing Lamar Jackson can get away from him, and that allows Hayden Hurst just a little bit more time to break away from a defender and work free on the sideline. That was a huge play in this game, that throw to Hayden Hurst along the sideline. That was excellent. From Derek. Derek, who used to hang around with us. Loves us working together. That makes one of us, Derek. From
what's that supposed to mean?
You know exactly how I feel about that. From Tom, I love that the band is back together. You
we
guys
keep your
better
$50 next week.
First of all,
right.
First of all, there's been an error. There's clearly been an
there's
error.
There's been a number.
Yeah,
there's
right.
been a number.
We're going to need you
inappropriately
placed. We're going to need you to stop by.
All right.
From Patrick, does Jimmy Smith play safety when healthy? I don't. What? What?
Well, I think there was some initial talk maybe that they would play Peters in a little bit of like of a hybrid
yes.
role and let Jimmy go back to just playing straight corner.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean,
I don't think
I don't
that Marcus.
Know, I don't know.
I don't think that Marcus
Jimmy
Peters making
set.
One play on a horrible throw
right.
makes me say he's a better one-on-one outside cornerback option than Jimmy Smith when healthy. Now, I don't know. That's not the case either, right?
You know, like, what's funny is earlier in the year, when they played, the Rams played them.
And yes,
there.
Oddly, Marlon Humphrey had kind of an iffy day today.
He was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But
earlier in the year when the Rams played in Seattle, remember when the kicker missed the field goal at the end of the game?
Right.
Lockett lit Peters up that day.
Right.
Lit him up.
Right. Right.
Yeah, kind of like what he did to Humphrey today.
Right.
And today, Peters goes back into that building 3 weeks later or whatever, 4 weeks later, new uniform, intercepts the pass, has a good game. The defense played great, obviously, and only allowed one touchdown. And Humphrey was terrible.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a weird day.
That was his
weird day,
worst
right?
game.
Weird day, no
that was
doubt about that.
You know, obviously, he scooped up the ball at the end, but that was his worst game.
Derek, is it just me or does Gus Edwards deserve a few more carries? Very underrated, always gains positive yards and a punishing
today?
Runner.
55 yards, 60 yards?
That's, I don't know if it was quite that much. But
it was
finished,
probably his best
no,
game.
No, 8 carries for 35 yards.
Oh, okay, well, 6-5 yards carry. 4 yards, 4.5
yards.
Well,
Gus Edwards normally is. That's about Gus. What about what Gus Edwards does? I talk for a living, so, believe it or not. I didn't say well. I just said I did it. That's how I get my money. I didn't say I get a lot of it or that it's a good choice for me to be the one to do it, but it is what I do for a living. Gus Edwards has been good since they inserted him into the role a year ago. I mean,
he carried the ball a lot more last year, but we didn't have Mark Ingram.
Again, that's the sort of the problem. There's been times where I've liked what I've seen from Justice Hill, but who are you taking carries away from?
This league's insane, right?
Why?
The league's just crazy. What,
because you're going to something else
just,
happen? What?
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Just
the league,
what is it?
Nothing.
Get to your point.
The Ravens went to Seattle and punched them in the mouth.
Sure, sure. That did happen. I watched it too.
The league is crazy.
I watched it too. From Ryan, let Lamar run. He'll just be a great quarterback until he's 30. Then you don't have to think. Then you have to think about the future. But doesn't prevent him from doing the things
he's
that he does best.
22 now. We got 8 years to
work. Yeah, that's a long way down the road. I think the Ravens are very clearly saying we're not the hell with it. Remember, when John Harbaugh made that quip, bet the over about Lamar's carries total, I don't know if that was gamesmanship, if he was just having fun, anything along those lines. It's clear they're not worried about it. That they're just
going to
say...
Right. They're not. That's what I said earlier. They're not going to arbitrarily say to him, it's not a pitch count.
Right.
You know, in baseball, they say, you can't throw more than 150 innings this year. When you get to 150, you're done. If it's August 10th or August 20th, you're done, right? John, they're not doing that with him. And I think they understand there's a risk, and they hope. Look, he's – I shouldn't even say this, right? Knock on whatever this is.
Yeah, sure.
This kid's been doing this for – this kid's been playing football at a high level for 8 years before this.
Okay.
Right? A couple of years in high school at
a the highest level he could be at.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And because for the most part, as you get better, you play against better competition. He's played at a high level in high school against probably lots of college bound players, went to play at a major university. He isn't just doing this now for the second. This is not his third.
Right, it's not like he just learned
show.
How to ram.
Right,
right. I hear you.
I feel
how
like
to ram?
He.
Jesus, what is going on? Man,
I feel like you're just so happy they won.
Yeah, right.
And covered.
I bet the other way.
We all did. I feel like he's smart enough. I mean, is he going to go through his whole career without getting some sort of a significant injury? The odds of that are no.
Right, but you say the same thing in fairness about every
Patrick Mahomes.
Right, you can say the same thing about every quarterback.
That's the way Jackson
right.
could get hurt. Something
Correct.
Stupid could happen.
Correct.
A guy could fall on the wrong way. Right.
That's in fact when he got hurt against the Falcons last year and had to come out of the game. That was what happened in that situation.
I just don't think there's any way to say to this kid, look, you can't. Once you get to 12 carries now, don't do it anymore. You just say to him, it's like what you say to your 16-year-old kid. I'm even afraid to say this. My kid will be driving soon, but you know what you say to your kid when you give him the keys.
Right. We know we're handing you the keys to a death machine. That's the way it is. But
careful.
Right.
Right. So that's what you say to this kid, and you hope he's careful. And so far he has been. I mean, he's taken a lot of hits in a dozen games or however many he's played, 15 games, and he's fine.
This year there hasn't even really been one way. You know, you were worried after the hit. Now again, I get it.
Could be the Mahomes thing. That's
exactly
the funny
right.
Part, right.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But. I think it's pretty clear they're saying the hell with it. This is how we win. We win because this kid does things that other people can't do. And that's how we're going to win football games. And so we're not going to stop that. And again, you have to hope. You hope that stays and everything's all right and that, you know, there isn't a moment down the road where that comes apart. But right now, it works. It's probably the best way they can win football games, frankly. And so it's pretty clear they're not going to try to stop him. From Justin, Earl Thomas's best game in a Ravens uniform. Looking forward to many more. Obviously inspired. There's no doubt about that. Obviously inspired by being in Seattle. Derek, just seems Lamar could give the ball to Gus instead of keeping it all the time. It saves Lamar from so much contact. I mean, I don't know that there's been five situations where I thought he made a bad call with something like that. I don't know if that's a big storyline.
No, I don't either.
And from Paul, hang on a second. From Mark, was Andrews wearing old gloves out of the bottom of his golf bag? Drops are out of character. Yeah, we touched on Mark Andrews. Weird day. You hope that it's nothing.
The third one was the only one that looked to me like he got a little jittery.
Yeah, the first two got to him, right.
The other two were kind of, I mean, they were
The first one was a bad throw. Right.
And I don't even think statistically that's going to count as a drop.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't
know. But the third one, he looked like he short-armed it a little bit across
right.
the middle.
Right. That was the one that on first and 15
right.
where they could have quickly picked up a first down. And again, as it turns out, everything was fine. They got the first down anyway. But they could have quickly picked up a first down from first and 15, but he just flat out dropped the ball right at the sticks.
How about the drop their dude had in the end zone? Right before the touchdown.
Oh, right.
Oh, my
right.
God.
Yeah, that was brutal.
I mean, I don't even could have come
Jerron
out.
Brown. Yeah, Jerron Brown.
It,
well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I've been working. And from Paul, on bye weeks, does everyone get out of town, or is it still business as usual for coaches breaking down film for teams they'll face after the bye? I mean, they've sort of changed their philosophy based on what was happening going into the bye. My gut is they'll be more inclined to give guys time off.
They'll be off. They'll
The players in, will probably come in for a couple of days.
The players will come in.
Monday
and Tuesday.
Tuesday, right.
Which normally they wouldn't come in on Tuesday.
Right.
They'll be excused Tuesday afternoon-ish, and they won't come back till the following Monday.
Right. The coaches will probably stick around for the better part of the week.
And probably take off Saturday, Sunday, and
right.
Monday.
That would be my guess.
And taking off, sounds crazy to say this, and John might say Friday at 2, we're all done, and I'll see you Monday morning. For a coach to not go into the building for 2.5
oh, no doubt.
Days
no doubt.
In the
crazy.
Season
crazy.
Is crazy. Really a break crazy. For them, right?
Yep, absolutely. From AJ, Lamar outplayed Russell Wilson today. Wow, just wow. And Jalen Ferguson even showed a little today. Yeah, a little. I mean, a little. Let's not get carried away. I think it's still a major concern. But he made one more play than he had made coming in today, and you got to start somewhere. Hopefully that's a turning point for Jalen Ferguson moving forward. All right. It happened. Obviously, we'll keep talking about it throughout the course of the week. I assume that you'll be writing about it throughout the course of the week at drewsmorningdish.com.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge win for them. I mean, well, you know, not that this really matters, but it ensures that they'll be 500 over 500 at the halfway point. Worst they could be is 5-3.
Right.
So the second quarter, they're either going to be 3-1 or 4-0. And you like, you know, as a coach, I guess you like to break down. I know Brian used to do that, right? You break down these things in quarters.
If you're looking for a tangible value, this really makes it difficult to fathom a way for the rest of the teams in the division back in. Like, it really...
Well, all the other teams are done except Cleveland, because Cleveland's last seven games, the only one it's hard is against the Ravens.
Right.
But the max that Cleveland's going to win is 9 games.
It looks...
That's the max they're going to win.
Most likely.
The max.
Most likely.
This today makes it... really hard for the Ravens to not win 10.
Right.
Unless something stupid happens.
Obviously.
You know, San
right.
Francisco could come in here.
Well, hang on. That's not one of the ones that I feel good about. I don't feel good about any of those.
Houston could come in here and be a threat because of Hopkins. It depends on what this injury is to Fuller. But, you know, the Ravens are going to get to 10 wins because of this today.
It looks that way. And it really right. makes it seem like it makes it very difficult that there could be a race down the stretch. We will see. And, you know, and again, knock on wood. But that's the other tangible part of it to me.
I also think there's something intangible about winning the before you go on your bye, and what this gives the players almost a stress-free week or 6 days off. This is really, really important. When you win the week before your bye, and you get to, it's a little bit like winning a Thursday game.
Sure.
And then you don't
having
have to,
that right.
It's really important to win these because of the mental stress. If you were to piss this one away today, somehow,
you start thinking about the schedule. You start thinking about right.
New England coming
right.
in. I'm telling you, this is winning before the bye. This is a bigger win in the way the schedule plays out than if they played New England next week. It gives them a chance to really enjoy this and
genuinely believe that they. Yeah, I hear you. All right, DrewsMorningDish.com for him, GlennClarkRadio.com for me. We're back tomorrow morning. What? What?
What's there, an envelope here?
Oh,
there?
No.
How's this work?
You can bill me. Go ahead and bill me. I got an address for you. It's on Hart Road.
I've done
it. Just go ahead and...
I'm still waiting for... Well, never mind.
Let's not talk about that.
All right. I'm still doing this.
Right, you've mentioned that a couple times.
Tonight? We might as well just keep talking. What the
hell? Why would we do that?
What do you like tonight?
I don't know. This is really weird. I think I like the Cowboys to bounce back tonight. I have no idea, though. I really have no idea. Who do you like to win the World Series? We'll keep doing this. Why not?
Oh, man. I just have this funny feeling that this is the Nationals' year.
I get right? it. There's been so many goofy things going on. I understand
and
that
don't
feeling.
Don't you feel like, and what's he, Cole's got at least two more guaranteed starts, right?
Yeah, Cole starts one.
Tonight, you would assume one.
It seems like they don't want to turn him around on short rest, so it looks like it's 1-5.
Doesn't he have to have a stinker at some point?
You say that.
I know. But don't
that.
You feel like...
Yeah, but the problem is they can start against Scherzer, and Scherzer might go out and pitch just as well, and so it's not a guarantee that they win those two starts. I don't know. I think it's... I can't believe...
I like the Nash.
I can't believe the Astros are such overwhelming favorites. It does not make sense to me, considering...
It was a hell of a game last night.
It was a great game.
That was
crazy. Right. Tomorrow morning, Glenn Clark Radio, 10 to noon. Bradley Bozeman joins us, as he does every Monday, and Jake Lehman is going to join us tomorrow morning as well. Drew will be in on Friday, I assume, although this is where you say you can't make it in on Friday.
This Friday, I can't be here.
Of course you can't be
here. But, hold on.
Of course you can't be here.
Hold on. I got so much stuff
going on.
Of
course you can't.
But I might be able to do Thursday.
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Fall
is a busy time for me.
We're okay.
Well, so is the summer.
I noticed that.
But I'm usually good. January, February, March, April. Well, March. I'm good. Those first, 10 weeks, I enjoy coming in here.
Thanks to everybody for joining us for the Project Game Day post-game show.
Soccer tomorrow.
Okay, do that. Thanks to Casa Sin, Wise Markets, Glen Burnie Transmissions, the U.S. Army, and the Glory Days Grill for making it happen. See you tomorrow. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be back for the late night version of Project Game Day after Ravens Patriots.